Good day, and welcome to the Troax Group AB Presentation Q2 Report 2022 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Thomas Widstrand. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and thank you for listening in. It's my pleasure to present the second quarter to you of Troax Group AB. As usual, we have a short Q&A session at the end. I'll start by introducing them if you want to follow my presentation. Also, you have followed this before, so you know where to find it, but otherwise you can find it on the Troax webpage, our homepage on troax.com, and you can find it on under Investors. On the day you have the reports, and the reports obviously for the Q2. If you don't find it or if you don't want to do it, I'm sure you can follow in my priorities for the presentation. Nevertheless, I'll start directly going into the presentation. We have a few introductory picture which you've seen before. We are safe and sound on solid ground. But what is more important, I think, for you is that we, as usual, are working with three main segments. The biggest one is what we call machine guarding, which is 60% of our turnover. As a short introduction, you can see on this picture. If you don't see the picture, there are a number of robots working with automotive manufacturing, and that's typically what we do. We work a lot with different kind of industrial processes, but it's basically intended and to safeguard people from working in close connection with hazardous processes or hazardous machines. Next one we have is what we call warehouse partitioning, and it's safe handling in warehouses, which is approximately 30% or something like this. It grew quite substantially last year, less this year, which I will come back to. As the picture implies, you can see that what we're doing there is we take our type of fences or safety solutions, and we bring them into either a more static part of warehouse or more automated ones, where we talk about partitioning and we talk about safeguarding people who are one way or another working in this area. The third segment, which is also the smallest one, which is approximately 10% of our turnover, and it's actually where it all started many years ago. For Troax, it's called property protection. It's mainly a North European solution. What it does is it takes care of all our bicycles or skis or, you know, luggage, whatever we have that we want to take care of in some sort of storage solutions. People are living in multi-storage buildings, normally have this in the cellars, but some have it in the attic as well. Also could be outside of the apartment one way or another. We call it property protection, 10% of our turnover. Then we have what we call automated warehouse, which is actually a hybrid between machine guarding and the warehouse part, where we then focus then on a more automated warehouse part. We don't disclose how much we're doing this, but also in this area, driven of course then by the e-commerce solutions or the demand for e-commerce solutions. For 2022, this has of course, I will say, gone down substantially, partly because people are not so keen, I guess, to order from e-commerce traders as they were during the pandemic. Also I think that our conclusions are that some of these very big players in this field, they would, as I call it, have overinvested last year. Now with a little bit with a reduction in demand for e-commerce, they are trying to go into the costume which was built last year, which obviously was a bit too big. I firmly believe myself that we're going to see continued increase in demand in this important sector for Troax. I think that for the rest of 2022 and also for some part of 2023, I think the demand will be at a lower level, simply because, as I said before, I think these kind of integrators or end customers overinvested in 2021. Next page shows the summary of the overall development split up in the different segments, geographical areas for us. So you can see, of course, that 80% or something is still close to that is still for Europe. But we have actually increased substantially in North America, driven then last year by a lot in automated warehouse, which obviously is not showing the same pattern in 2022. I'll come back to that. And you see also then the figures in the down left corner, and you see that we last year had a tremendous increase then on both orders and sales, and also, of course, operating profit, which you have to bear in mind when you're now comparing this quarter then, of course, with a very strong quarter of last year. Next one shows also the year in brief, but more the long-term development, in this case shows from 2012. And we are a growth company, even if, as I said, last year was a bit of an extraordinary growth. We're talking normally about that the market is growing with some 4-6% per year, and on top of that we should take market share. So we've had historically an increase of some 8-10% per year, depending on, of course, which time frame you're analyzing this. We are approximately 2.5 or maybe even 3 times bigger than our closest competitor in this field, and we're obviously the leading company in this niche market of safety solutions. Coming to the next one, which is the financial targets, we're talking normally then about sales growth, which is not explicitly said that we have a specific target, but as I said, historically, we've been able to grow with 8-10% per year, and that's probably not a bad indication of what could happen going forward, assuming, of course, that the market is continuing to grow, which I don't see any reason to doubt. So for the first two quarters then, or actually this quarter, if you look at the year-to-date here, we've been growing organically and just 1% with a small figure, with a small acquisition we did in Spain. But however, I must say that most of this is coming then from the price increases that we have then been achieving due to that it was necessary to raise prices due to the steel price increases. So the real growth for the first half year, excluding price increases, are not that impressive. It's actually then below the average 8-10%, and it's probably then because, as I said before, we've had this very, very strong development in the automated warehouse last year, which has not come back this year. Regarding profitability, we are a little bit behind. Our targets were at 17.8%, which I think is still okay under the pretty difficult situation that has been now, especially on the pricing side, which I can comment a little bit later on. So we think this is a decent achievement, even if it's a little bit below our target. Regarding the capital structure, there is no, I would say, main problem. We have a quite good balance sheet, and we have a net debt to EBITDA, which is only 1.1, which means that we have good resources to continue to, you know, find interesting investment objects or even acquisition objects. So from that respect, there are no real hesitation from our side. Regarding dividend, we don't need to talk about that. We've just paid out the dividend a couple of months ago, so we can come back to that when 2022 is over. Coming down to the next page, which tries to summarize a little bit to Q2, I have a few conclusions later also, which hopefully then will accentuate this. But just to take a few examples here, I would say that Q2 continued with good order trend. We started already in 2021, or in some cases before, with the exception of automated warehouse, which means when you analyze the figures, the total doesn't look that impressive. This is at least my conclusion. But if you then exclude on the automated warehouse development, I would say that it's a very strong development in all other segments, and we don't see any reason that customers are not being active or buying from us. So I would say that on the contrary, it looks quite stable. I would say we've got a number of good orders also to sort of speak, accentuant. So, in other words, Q2 were in line with last year, if you exclude these. Bear in mind that Q2 last year was a very strong quarter from order intake point of view. Now, having said this, it still goes without saying that both in orders and in sales, it's being inflated. And while a net price increase of some 15%, we've increased more when you talk about gross, but this is somewhere in the line which you can say that this is really influencing in the result account. So despite this problem, then I think we achieved what I call a reasonable EBIT result, despite that the margin were on the low side, which I will come back to. We've had a good utilization in our manufacturing units, with the exception of our Chinese plant. And the Chinese plant was closed for most of this period due to the COVID problem that China was experiencing. So we didn't have much choice then but to adhere to the regulation that were coming. Our Chinese unit in China was opened up then towards the end of the quarter, but for most of the quarter, this was actually closed. Now, coming to, I think, one thing which I know many people are quite interested in, some comment on the gross margin, and we are very clear in saying that it was on the low side this quarter also, just like it was in Q1, and it's mainly coming from the purchase of steel materials. And unfortunately, we have this timeline when we increase prices to customers. It normally takes 2-3 months before you see it in our own top line, because you have an order book which has to go out, and in some cases you actually have then to wait a little bit until you can get formally this to be implemented, even if I think we have a much less a problem by this formality than any other companies. So we have a time delay of 2 to 3 months. And also this Q2 was very difficult for a number of our customers. So I think that we've been a bit cautious and to just in a very harsh way to introduce increases months after months after months. But I think we've been trying to help them to a certain extent without hurting our own more than 2 months, just to make sure then that they are surviving and that they are having a good, let's say, help from Truax, which hopefully then will pay off in the long end by having our customers then, of course, being even more positive to Truax as a supplier. So in other words, this gross margin is not what we call acceptable, but it's mathematically more or less than correct based on what I now explain. Now, on top of this, with the pricing issue, which otherwise is going quite okay towards the customers, we are, of course, then experiencing, just like many other companies, with cost increases on other types of purchase material and components, freights, electricity, especially, I would say, and this is, of course, also part of it, which over time will and is being passed over as we speak to the customers. So I'm not too worried about this more long-term. But for the Q2, it was a figure then which was definitely negatively influenced then by the very steep increases in steel price towards the end of March 2022, where it took us, of course, some time to get our corresponding price increases implemented in our own result account. Stepping over to the regional development, which you also will see some figures over later. We have, I think, good sales levels in most markets, especially in new markets, show good growth figures, and I would say that's coming from most markets there, with the exception of China, obviously. In North America, which is the main negative one, we have been actually quite hit down by the lack of bigger products in automated warehouse, where we also had the main success, I would say, last year with these kind of bigger projects. So long term, we see good development, positive, should come also in North America. But for 22, clearly, there will be a decrease then because of the lack of activity in this important market. Earnings per share, slightly lower than last year, but I would say quite okay. Working capital is on an expected level. inventory is still high due to the high security levels, as we write here. We think there are possibilities now because things are starting to stabilize. We can somewhat reduce the inventory during the year. We'll see how that goes and how, let's say, how big risk we want to take. But I think the key for our relative success is also that we've been able, during the whole problematic period during the COVID and also during this first half year, where actually deliveries of steel was an issue, we've always been able to deliver in the Troax Group, and partly because we then have taken a more safe approach to keeping a bit more in stock, obviously, to have a good service towards our customers. Steel price, we have already touched upon. We wrote in the report by Q1 that we saw risks for continued turbulence, and unfortunately, this happened. So I would say, especially in the beginning of this quarter, there were really big turbulence, and it started to fade towards the end of the quarter. So we have seen stabilization towards the end of quarter two. So if you then want to compare something, I would say that we are in a better situation from pricing point of view now ending quarter two compared with quarter one, with what we see in hindsight. Otherwise, in general, prices have then, as I said, with some delay, they've been adjusted to reflect the higher steel prices. So the higher, the lower orders were in the order book before the steel price were really being hit, is step by step going out of the order book, and things will, of course, then improve during the period. We do see that we are going to have a number of projects going out also in Q3, so it will certainly be somewhat reflected. However, to a lesser extent, we think, than in Q2. But with some effect, you will see also in Q3. Few words about the acquisitions. Natom in Poland, they have again showed a good development, and nothing more to comment on that, I would say. We also made a small acquisition this quarter in Spain called Claytec, and without drawing any conclusion, I would say it started very well, and we have in a small way started to introduce their interesting solutions, which one are more from a communication point of view solutions than that are interested to drug customers. When I say communication, I mean communication between for instance forklift trucks and machines, and they could of course increase the safety, for instance, in warehouses between personnel and forklift trucks going around, regardless if they are run automatic or if they are run in a manual way. Coming to the next page, the financial highlights, which I think you've been going through yourself, so we don't need to dwell a lot on that, but you see then that on the order intake, it looks a bit good on paper, the quarter, but if you exclude then the price increases, it's not that impressive. Whereas the sales is still quite okay, I would say, based on then that we're still enjoying then to invoice a number of the projects which been coming in before. Gross profit, as I said, on the low side, clearly on the low side, we're not entirely happy with that. But as I said, we are not too worried about this going forward because we see that with the steel now stabilizing, we have very good opportunity to come back to our old margins during the second half year. Operating profit, obviously also then a bit on the lower side, but I would still say that the 17.6% operating margin is not bad, seeing then the turbulence that has been in the market. But it is below our target, and we are working to come back to this level that we had before. Look at the 6 months, you have a similar picture, but it's been more accentuated, I would say, during the last quarter. So you can draw your own conclusions. But of course, then first quarter was only partially influenced by the steel price. It came down in March. Whereas, of course, the second quarter of this year has been fully influenced then by much higher steel price. Coming to the next one, called Regional Development, Order Intake and Sales. And if you look at the columns in the middle here, which are showing under 3 months, meaning quarter two, you will see here then that the picture is then that continental Europe is more or less the same. But if you then take out and the price increases, clearly then a decrease, which also here is influenced then by development in automated warehouse, even if the big influence in that is coming from North America, where you see the figures are not good at all. And then you see Nordic region and UK, which actually have been doing quite well. So even if you exclude and the price increases here, I would say that in UK, we've been, from our point of view at least, having a stable development, which I think is very well done. And in the Nordic, I think it's been a growth despite price increases. So I think this is quite a good achievement. And as we discussed, new markets, which still is a bit on the lower side if you talk about absolute figures, but step by step we're increasing our market share and the turnover there. So this quarter was a good quarter, plus 50%. I don't think you're going to see this kind of figure every quarter, but over time we should certainly increase the sales to what we call new markets, which are very much then of course connected with, I would say, Asia Pacific. It's main part in that one, even if there are other markets which still are important. Small part, which is the acquisition, so totally 5%. If you go to the sales part, a bit further below, it shows the same development, slightly better than, because, as I said, sales has been a bit stronger compared with orders. And then you see then, especially on the continental Europe, that's where the difference is. And we've been enjoying them to be able to invoice them for it, which had been taken earlier than the second quarter. If you look at the first half year, you see a similar development. But still, sales are a bit stronger, which means then that you can understand that the big orders we had last year from in automated warehouse are being invoiced now to a large extent during 2022, but they are short term at least not coming back into the orders as in a repetitive way. So you must then understand them that from order point of view, I think that the automated warehouse part, it will continue to be a little bit on the lower side for the second half year, but the rest of the market, as I said, we saw continued good improvements during the second quarter. So next one, some conclusion, and then I think I will start to round off a little bit for some Q&A. So as we see it, we continue to receive very good orders in all segments. I would say especially strong in machine guarding. And we have this time not seen more orders, but we have seen an increase in activity level and requests for quotes in the automotive sector, which is a good sign. It's otherwise, as you probably know, has been rather quiet for some time. So otherwise, the development in order side and different segments is quite stable, with the exception, which I have now said several times, in the automated warehouse part. Result is reflected based on the reasonably good sales, but with a little bit less good margin, somewhat compensated by good utilization in the manufacturing units, with the exception of China. And as I've said now several times also, margin were okay, with the exception then on the steel price and the conversion then towards our customers. Integration of Natom is going in the right way. Acquisition of Glytec was done. So in total, we think it's a reasonable development, despite the turbulence created by the steel price development. Jumping forward to the growth factors, which have not changed from before, so I'm still saying that the increased industrial automation is the main driver for us. It's been so for some years and will continue to be so. Right now, the growth in e-commerce is not there. We had a significant increase in 2021. And as I said, I think it will come back, but not short term. And those are the two main drivers, I would say, for the increase in turnover for the market, not only Trovax. Jumping quick, our production units, which you've seen before, Sweden, UK, China, Italy, United States, Poland. And take the next one, which shows then the different brands that we're operating under. And we now added this small unit in Claitec, which is coming from Spain, on top of the other one. And jumping quickly, I would say, down a few pages to what is called fully automated solution. And just as a little as a recap what we're doing, we have introduced now what we call Troax Power Door. And it actually opens, maybe it's a bit big word, but it actually opens a new door to Industry 4.7, where I think that we as the first one in our type of business show them that we can integrate different doors, which enables then production to communicate with forklift trucks or other types of, you know, moving equipment in an automated way. And that will, of course, enhance and the solution provider thinking that Troax has given our the customers for a number of years. So it's a good sign that we have introduced this. It won't change, you know, the top line picture for Troax short term, but it's a good step in the right direction. And we think that the customers will appreciate this as we go forward. By this, I would say that we jump over the last sheets. You've seen this before. Just like to end them by saying safety equals Troax. And we are the original, of course, since 1955. And by this, by introducing them, the Q&A session. So I'd like to end my presentation here. Thank you so far for your listening in, and I'm waiting for your questions. So please, operator, could you help them to start the Q&A session?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Winstrand. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt on the phone line will indicate when your line is open. Please state your name and company before posing your question. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause now for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal a question.
Quiet.
Okay. We have one question now, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, this is Gustav Osterberg from Carnegie. And hi, Thomas, and thank you, operator, for letting me through. A couple of questions from my side. The first one is on demand trends. And there's a mix of things going on there, but I just wanted to start with sort of the, you mentioned a substantial drop in automated warehouses. What kind of year-on-year declines are we talking about here?
I would say that if you compare with, I would say that there are extreme high order intake in 2021. You're talking about a halvation of the order intake, as some sort of indication at least so far.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. And just on the sort of the sequential development in the quarter and compared to Q1, are you seeing sort of a stable new level where you expect demand sort of to find for the coming periods, or are we seeing sort of a decline within the quarter as well?
Yeah, good question, Lisa. I think what we see so far, at least up until the end of quarter two, was that the demand in the automated warehouse part came in generally to, as I said, substantial low level, but it was not continuing to drop, if you see my point. So we think it's dropped down to a level which is more sustainable for the short-term foreseeable future, at least, and we don't expect it to deteriorate further.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And then moving over to, there's some small but positive comments on the automotive segment. In terms of customer activity and interest, I appreciate you mentioned it briefly on the call as well, but could you elaborate sort of on what you're seeing here? Is it remanufacturing of production lines for EVs that is starting to make more sense? What factors are driving that development? Because you did talk about it a few quarters back, and then it went a little bit weaker for a while, but now you seem positive again.
Yes. As I tried to say very clearly, maybe to break open doors, but we haven't seen it yet in the order intake, but the requests for quotes are being increased, and we see it in Europe, and we see it in some other places as well. We saw it earlier, which I also have communicated in North America, so we think that North America is a bit earlier in the phases of getting more investments in this level. But as you know also, on top of this, we are late in the process, and I think maybe we underestimated on the time lag between that the automotive companies start to talk about they need to invest, or we see that there is a need generally to start to invest, whereas they start to do requests for quotes to Troax and other companies, because obviously, even if the safety solutions are extremely important for them, of course they need to have everything in order with the machine production and the lines before they can look into this. So I think that's maybe one part which is taking this longer than what we at least expected. And we think they're all a bit over that now, so we would expect then that the investment and also the orders would slightly start to increase, because they are now coming towards the end of the planning phase, and then the planning must come into reality, which means they have to start also order things like Troax and others are given. On top of this, I would say also then that there's an expectation, and that of course this with the battery plants, which is in some cases an integrated part of the automotive manufacturing today, for obvious reasons, is starting to become more, let's call it, mature or more in operative or day-to-day coming into operation. And I think that also makes it easier for these kind of big automotive companies and to start seeing it as a normal investment, and then it comes also into hopefully orders then in the coming quarters for Troax and other types of companies.
Okay, perfect. That makes sense. Just a quick follow-up on sort of a contrast to the automated warehouses segment. It's both, orders and RFQ activity that has gone down, right? And you're seeing more of that in the U.S. compared to Europe.
That's absolutely the right conclusion.
Is it also fair to say that sort of the base level and the comparison period are much, much tougher in the U.S. compared to Europe?
So
see much higher activity there? Yeah, okay. And then just moving on to the margin, I mean, it feels like the steel price development is the main driving factor here. And I mean, are you seeing sort of any uncertainty in terms of pass-through or anything that has been different to what we've experienced historically? Or can we expect sort of a similar development with regards to sort of the margin impact from both higher and lower steel prices?
Now, I think you can expect now that, assuming then that the steel price are at least stabilizing, then the price increases that we have made now during Q2 especially will of course come into force in our result account and on top line, and that will of course one way or another enhance the gross margin and also general profitability. Question is only how fast this will go, and we have to see about this, because right now at the end of quarter two, we saw, of course, then that it was stabilizing. But if you read the newspaper in steel, it can go either way, I think, in the autumn or in the winter. So I think we are prepared for both cases. But under normal circumstances, we are, as I said before, expecting then a step-by-step to come back to what we call our normal margins in the group.
Okay, perfect. And then just a final question on M&A. I mean, we've seen pretty steep valuation resets in both public and private markets during H1 in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing a similar development of multiples in your target markets, or how are discussions going in general as well?
We don't have any fixed multiples in our market, so to speak, that we can just follow or see how it's developing, because there are not so many activities as maybe you would like. But we do see that there are more interested parties that we can talk about or with today than it was half a year ago. So from that sense or that conclusion, I think that what you're saying, Gustav, is right. It's coming down, and I think it's easier to keep this kind of discussions going. What will come out is, of course, another story, but discussions are easier today than 6 months ago.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Thomas. That was all questions from my side.
Yeah. Thank you, Gustav.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. Final reminder, please press star 1 for any questions.
All right. Well,
it appears there are no further questions.
That's fine. Then it means then that I think the communication has been working. But you know where to find us if there should be any questions. We're open, of course, to that. So with this, I'd like to thank you very much for your questions and your interest and to listen. And I look forward and to meet you again then in a couple of months, where we're going to communicate, of course, the third quarter development. Thank you very much. Take care and see you next time. Over to operator.
You're very welcome. This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.